stewardship and character. What is character? Character is the sum total of our feelings and our desires and our activities. Character is made not of isolated acts, either good or bad, but is the result of the general tendency of the life. It's the total of all our activities and all our thinking. The thoughts and the feelings and the doings combined make for character. Habit patterns go to make character. The character is formed according to the divine likeness and is the only treasure that we can take out of this world. We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out except the record of the totality of our feelings and doings. Character is the product of our way of life. And this week we are going to study the relationship of our stewardship to our character. I think we all agree that a mechanic who works on our automobile is no better mechanic than he is a man. If he is a dishonest man, if he is a careless man, he will be dishonest and careless in the way he repairs our car. If he is honest and careful and conscientious, then the work he will do on our automobile will be honest and careful and carried out in a conscientious manner. Part number one starts with God's character, the totality of his thoughts and feelings and doings. Now, why would we think at the beginning of God's character? Very simply, because we are made in his image and in his likeness. We should imitate his character. When God revealed his character to Moses on Mount Sinai, he declared his name, the Lord God, long-suffering, full of goodness, patience, faithfulness, loving-kindness. All this is his glory, and the glory of God is his self-sacrificing love. The great principle that actuated God's life is the principle of disinterested love. He loved, and so he gave. And as man loves, he will give. And so we see in God's economy a whole cycle of affection and consideration of every part to every other part. The law of God describes these relationships. The law is love reduced to a code. The law is a transcript of the character of God. The law describes all ideal relationships. So as we think of the character of God, we think of his laws, consistent, benign, helpful, interdependent, descriptive of ideal relationships. And we say, Lord Jesus, give me this kind of character. Part number two is the image of God. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion. Dominion not only of creation, but dominion over himself. Self-mastery is the beginning of the dominion. Man was created superior to every other being. His will, his mind, should control his body and his feelings. Man was to bear God's image both in outward resemblance and also in character. Christ is the express image. But man was, by nature, to live in harmony to the will of God. His mind was capable of thinking God's thoughts after him. His feelings should reflect the benevolence of God. His will should control his appetites and passions, and all should be mastered by his reason. God's character was reflected in the perfect Adam. God's character should be reflected in his sons and daughters today. So as the Christian is growing up in the world, he may expect to be growing more like God. 1 John 3:1, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So the purpose of stewardship, of the exercise of relationships to time and things and persons, is to bring back man into that original likeness that he possessed to his Creator. In order to help us achieve this, part number 3 stresses the fact that Jesus is our example. Let this mind be in you, Paul wrote to the Philippians, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then the apostle lists what Christ did. He was equal with God. He didn't think it anything to be grasped to be God, because he was God in the fullest sense. And he emptied himself, became like a man, that he might be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus is our example of disinterested benevolence, of self-sacrificing love, of leaving personal benefit and advantage in order to get into a position where he could help those more in need than himself. Part number 4 calls attention to the fact of the church and its giving. When Paul organized the church in Crete, he invited Timothy to take over and set in order and complete the work of organizing the church. Part of this organizational work was to see that every member, to the utmost of his ability, acted as a steward. There were visits to be made, sick to be tended, poor to be cared for, the heathen to be studied with, offerings to be taken to help the poor saints in Jerusalem and elsewhere. And it was the responsibility of Titus, the pastor, to see that ideas and programs were devised so that each member of the church in Crete might follow the great example of Jesus Christ in helping other people. He had to organize elders and deacons who should conduct the work and devise lines of labor so that every member would have something to do. Part number 5 comes to the point of giving. Every man is to give as he is able. Conversion, turning to Jesus Christ as the great exemplar, and giving one's life is the first thing that must be done. We see what Jesus is, we see how he acted, and we say, I want to be like him, I want to act as he acted. If we will do this, then our interest in other people will be natural and spontaneous, and we will be able to bring many souls to Jesus Christ. But as our note tells us, sometimes the Lord does not work to bring souls into the church because the church members have not been converted. They would not have a beneficial influence upon the new converts. God wants converted workers to be his fellow laborers, seeking for the salvation of others. Part number 6, the whole life gift. God's plan is that his image shall be wholly revealed in his people, that the character of Christ should be reproduced. In order to do this, the whole of life must work to the accomplishment of the divine plan. Man lives in the body. The body is the most important medium through which the mind and the soul are developed. Therefore, it is up to man to keep his body in the finest condition. Through the results of sin, the appetites and passions of the body sometimes control the will and the reason. And the man becomes an addict, a slave to passions that destroy him. Realizing this, the Christian must ensure that he wills himself into that state that allows Christ to be supreme in his life. This is very important. This is the essence of conversion. We can't change ourselves. We can't transform our characters. But we can be willing to allow Jesus to do that. If we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. Work out your own salvation, for it is God that worketh in you, Paul says, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So we must say, here is my body, Lord, take the whole of it. I surrender my will, so that thy grace can master all my reasonings and all my thinkings and all my passions. Then we possess material resources. God allows the poor to be in our midst to see how kind and generous we are. If there were no people, poor, needy, clamoring for our help, how would we be able to develop the attitude of compassion and unselfishness? The very tithing system develops character. It shows the true state of the heart, whether we are selfish or whether we are generous. In the third area, God has given us many abilities. These abilities, rightly used, will develop characters that will be pure and strong and pleasing to God. It's only through the right use of the talents that the character will develop harmoniously. And then we have time. Are we squandering it? Are we indolent? Are we misusing it? If we will work in these four areas, which constitute the total of the life, we will demonstrate that we are true stewards. Who is sufficient for these things? Only the mind surrendered and controlled by the grace of God. Let us pray for this grace.